Hello, and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas, has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Here's Pastor Steve.
The title of today's sermon is New Heaven and New Earth, Will You Be There? You know, the book of Revelation is really a letter that Jesus Christ sent to you. It says in Revelation chapter 1 and 1, this is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must soon take place. You see, in this letter, Jesus reveals the final events that will take place on planet Earth. If you want to know the future, read the book of Revelation. And we've gone through the entire book except for these last two chapters. And you can go online and you can find these teachings from the very beginning. Jesus sent a letter to warn us of the coming catastrophes that people will face on Earth for rejecting him as Savior. Accepting Jesus as Savior is the only way to obtain forgiveness for our sins and eternal life in heaven. You know, all humanity was born in sin and sentenced to eternal death and suffering. God had told Adam in the Garden of Eden, he said, you can eat of any tree in the garden, but that tree don't you dare eat of, because the day you eat of that, you'll surely die. And Adam disobeyed God, and as a result of that, sin and death came into humanity, and then we all became sinners. Well, the problem is, that is a judgment that's lying over all of our heads, and it has changed us from the way God created us to be. However, God stepped in and sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to change the situation. And by accepting Christ, we have divine pardon from God for our sins. We are set free. We are changed. In fact, we become children of God. In John 3 and 16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Anyone who believes in God's Son has everlasting life. This is verse 36. Everyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's judgment for sin. And that sin is eternal death judgment. The Bible says the only way to experience the new heaven and earth that we're talking about today in eternity is by accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, I want to begin by reading Revelation chapter 21 and 1, and we're going to continue to read some of those chapters and some of those verses and talk about it. But I want you to have your complete attention as we end these last two chapters, because they are so powerful and they really talk about heaven. How many of you plan to go to heaven? Let me see your hand. Oh, it's going to be awesome, an awesome place. Let me begin by reading Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. John had received this revelation or this vision from Jesus, and an angel is actually there explaining to him everything that he's seeing. And in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, it provides more details about the eternal future planned by God than anywhere else in the Bible. That's where we're at now. God will destroy the heavens where Satan's kingdom inhabited, and he will destroy every effect of sin on planet Earth. When we talk about destroying the heavens and the earth, a new heaven and earth, that's what we're seeing here. The theme of these chapters is actually found in chapter 21 and verse 5, where Jesus is actually saying, behold, I will make all things new. And he does it by fire, because God will renovate the old heaven and earth, and remove, as I stated, every sinful thing that ever existed, every destructive thing on the face of the earth. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and 10, it talks about it. Let me read this to you. It says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which heaven will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will burn up. Verse 12, looking for the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, we'll also notice that in Revelation 21 and verse 1, it mentions there will be no more sea. So when God recreates the earth or renovates the earth, there will be no more seas, no more oceans. Did you know that the sea and the oceans occupy about 3/4 of the land mass on the globe? Well, God, by removing the seas, will change the earth's capacity for future generations to inhabit throughout eternity. And let's continue with verse 2. It says, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. Now, when we're talking about God's tabernacle, we're talking about God's home. The Bible is saying here, God will no longer live in the third heaven. He will move his headquarters to the new earth and live in the new Jerusalem with us. You know, there's no way for us to comprehend the inexplicable joy and peace that we're going to experience at that time. Verse 4 goes on to say, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There will be no more pain. Let the church say amen. For the former things have passed away. It goes on to say, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. This is a new that we've never experienced before. This is a new that it's hard to even wrap your mind around. Just how wonderful it's about to be as we continue with God in our lives. And he said, write, for the things that I'm speaking are true and faithful. Now think about this. There'll be no more devil. That's enough right there to thank God for. There'll be no more division. There'll be no more danger. There'll be no more fear. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more death. Can we pause and just thank God for where we're headed? All of this in the new earth. Now, in verse 6, it's so interesting because here Christ pauses and makes an altar call. This is amazing. The love of God, the love of Jesus Christ to die for us all, is always present. And here in the book of Revelation, as we're about to close, here he is. He's saying in verse 6, it is done. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to those who thirst. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my child. You know, God wants to be your father. It's a relationship that will continue throughout eternity. Think about this, you and God throughout eternity. Jesus repeats the invitation that he had given on earth to the people when he said to them, if you receive me, satisfaction in life actually comes through a true relationship with me. Listen to what he says in John 7 and 37. It says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You see, folks, both then and now, the truth is, only Jesus Christ can bring complete satisfaction to the human heart. It doesn't matter what you do. There is no satisfaction. There is none without Jesus Christ. Jesus repeats in Revelation 21 and 8, those who will not be in the new earth or the new Jerusalem. So listen up. He says, but cowards, those who refuse to believe in me, those who do evil things, those who kill, those who sin sexually, those who do evil magic, who worship idols and who tell lies, all of these will have their place in the lake of burning sulfur, and this is the second death. You know, we talk about the lake of fire, but what is the lake of fire and brimstone? Well, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13, it tells us those that are going there, and then we'll talk a little bit about that. The Bible says, all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. So at the final judgment, hell and death will be thrown into this lake of fire. All of the occupants that have died and those that are in hell will be thrown into the lake of fire. But before that happens, every person, in fact, who rejected God forever throughout the centuries are going to stand before God's throne and give an account. The Bible says, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. There are going to be books open to judge every person and their deeds. And the scripture says, anyone not found in the book of life. The book of life really has to do with those who have accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, those who have accepted God. Those people in the book of life are the ones who will have eternal life in this new heaven and this new earth. Now, the lake of fire was actually created for the devil and his angels who rebelled against God in heaven. That's a head scratcher. I'm still trying to understand how would the devil, who was Lucifer, and angels who actually lived in heaven rebel against God, seeing who God is, knowing who he is. Anyway, they did rebel and they were kicked out of heaven. And as a result, God created the lake of fire as their final judgment. But people who reject Jesus Christ as personal Savior, they will be going there as well. In Matthew 25 and 41, it says, Jesus shall say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. See, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. But once again, those who reject him will be going there as well.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a quick look at the messages coming your way on the radio ministry this week and in this Sunday service.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. As we continue our series in the book of Revelation, the Bible reminds us to read and study this book because it will impart a divine blessing. Revelation chapter 1 and 3 says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses the one who listens to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. While on earth, Jesus was asked by his disciples concerning the time and the details of his second coming. And this is what he said in Mark chapter 13 and 32. No one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. However, Bible prophecy reveals that we are living in the season of Christ's soon return. Keep listening daily to the programs every day to understand what that means to you and your family. I would like to invite you this Sunday to Spirit Life Church. I am sure that God will speak to you and His presence will be so real. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
We will be airing these informative messages on the Book of Revelation over the next few weeks. Be sure and join us daily right here on KDKR. And we encourage you to be with us at the church for our uplifting live service every Sunday morning at 10. The church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. If you would like more information about our ministry, be sure and check out the website at aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Now the lake will be a physical place that can burn and torment spirit beings. The lake of fire will actually be the final destination of evil spirits and all of those who followed evil, all those who rejected God in Christ as Savior throughout the ages. Let me move down to Revelation verse 9. It says, then one of the seven angels who held the seven vials containing the last plagues came and said to me, come with me. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And so he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And it shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper, as clear as crystal. Now, the Bible gives us a description of the new Jerusalem, and John describes the city as being brilliant with light, like a crystal. Actually, the stone jasper is believed to be like a golden hue. In verse 12, it goes on to say, and that as she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at each gate, that it basically amazed him of the size of the city and what God had put into it. The Bible says, once again, also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, then he begins to describe these gates and the city itself. The city was the shape of a cube, 1,500 miles in length, width, and depth. The walls were over 200 feet, approximately the height of a 20-story building. There were 12 gates, and each of them were made of a giant pearl, one giant pearl. And each of the gates were named for one of the tribes of Israel. The Bible tells us this in verse 13. It says, three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. And now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked to me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. So just to reiterate, there were three gates on each wall of the city, and there was an angel posted at each of the 12 gates. The walls of the city had 12 foundations. They were decorated with every kind of precious stone. I'm talking about the foundation of the building, the foundation of the walls. Let me just mention a few of these stones. There were sapphires, there were emeralds, there were sardonyx, that's a white stone like a diamond. There were sardis, that's reddish in color. There were beryl stones, which are like an ocean green. There were topaz, there were amethyst. All of these were designed to reflect the glory of God in a spectrum of brilliant color. And each of the foundation stones contained the name of one of the apostles, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, etc. Verse 18 says, the construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like glass. Did you hear what I said? The city was pure gold. It was pure gold, and it looked like glass. Now, the Bible goes on to say that there will be no temple or church structure there. Verse 22, John said, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, they are the temple. In other words, God and Jesus Christ will be the meeting place. There will not be any church locations in the New Jerusalem where we'll live. Wherever Jesus and God are, that's where we'll go to worship. That's where we'll have church. Can we pause and give God another hand of praise? This is remarkable. In the tabernacle of Moses, God dwelled in a tent that was in the wilderness. Even in the millennial kingdom, we talked about that, there's going to be a temple. However, in the New Jerusalem, not so. Everyone present will give their total allegiance and worship God and his son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Wherever they are, that will be church. Wherever they are, we will lift our hands and give God praise. Wherever they are, we will all gather together and thank God for the privilege of being with him for all eternity. Let's pause and praise him once again. The holy city itself will be a place of undivided worship. The Bible goes on to tell us that no one will enter but those who will serve God, who accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Now, over and over again, Jesus keeps emphasizing this to you, emphasizing this to us, emphasizing this to the readers. Don't think you're going to be there if you haven't accepted Jesus as personal Savior and Lord. If you still have sin in your life, it's not going to happen. If you still have rebellion and disobedience in your life against God, see, all of those people have already been dealt with, by the way, at the great white throne judgment. But here the Lord is saying it for us because it's a future event. In Revelation 21 and 25, it says, its gates will never be closed at the day or at the end of the day, because there will never be night there. And all of the nations will bring their glory and their honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices sin, shameful idolatry, and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. No, only those that are born again, only those who have accepted Jesus, only those in the Lamb's Book of Life are going to be there. Romans chapter 10 and 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, the scripture says, whoever believes on him will never be put to shame. Help us, oh God, to react to it. Help us, Lord God, that we would obey the words of this book. Help us, Lord God, that we will be in that new heaven and the new earth. And Lord, even now as we're in this setting, I pray that you would convict the hearts of those who know I don't have it all together. I'm not where I should be spiritually. And that you'll speak to their hearts now while there's still time.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on Audio Messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message closed out the Summer Revelation series. It's called New Heaven and Earth. Will you be there? Now let's pray with Pastor Steve.
Hello, this is Pastor Steve Hill, and I want to thank you for listening to A Place to Grow. It is my sincere prayer that you will experience God's love, forgiveness, and healing. You can receive this by repeating this prayer, so join me. Father, forgive me of my sins. I turn away from them. Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Change me into a new creation. Thank you for saving me and changing my life. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, then you've accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior And know this, that God loves you so much, and whatever you need, just call on Him, and He'll answer your prayer. God bless you, and keep on listening to A Place to Grow.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.